Amen. We've been in a series called Mind Battles for the last 4 weeks, and we're going to continue that today. Very important message as it relates to mind battles, and we're going to talk about the first open door. There was a man by the name of Abraham that, if you do any reading in your Bible, that God tested him. And he tested him by asking him to give him his only son, Isaac. And when Abraham made that choice, you know what? As much as I love Isaac and much as I need Isaac in my life, I need God more. He made the decision to give Isaac up to God. And the moment he decided that with sincerity, God said, "Now I know." Amen. There's some things that God wants to know about us today that's important. And so what was it that God really wanted from Abraham when you look at it from the true lens, amen, of what God's interested in? God wanted Abraham's heart. My goal today is not to convince you to give anything today. My goal is to encourage you to step into the blessing of God's kingdom today. God wants you blessed more than anything. He wants you to be blessed with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Sean said it well when he talked about, hey man, when we come together, how God's presence comes in a condensed version. Amen. Where two or three agree, where two or three gather, God says, "I'm in their midst." And so blessing and being blessed is directly tied to, and one of our favorite scriptures here, John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Does anybody want to follow Jesus? Well, let me encourage you today. You can work hard at trying to follow him. You can try your best to follow him. But unless you experience him and his power, you can't follow him. And Jesus wants to know you intimately. That's why walking in the Spirit is so imperative for all of us to embrace today. The red balloon isn't the problem. The problem is my ability to hear or to listen. Ask yourself, am I looking through God's lens today as you hear the word of the Lord? And ask the Lord to help you to see from his lens on what his expectation is for you. Is that okay? And so, with that being said, we've been talking about doors the last 4 weeks and how that we can open those doors and not even know and be aware that the door or the window is left open in our life and in our relationships. And we begin to wonder, why is things going so bad? Why is it that I don't have any faith? Why is it that I don't have any love in my heart for people? Why is it that I don't have hope in my heart? And the reason for the lack of faith, hope, and love in our life is there's a thief in the house. And he's come to steal, to kill, and destroy that which God has purposed, amen, to spring out of you. Amen. The enemy wants to put doubt, fear, and unbelief back in its place. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? So doors are real, and we as believers, even when we come to know Christ, we can know that believers can be, amen, trespassed into by enemy. That actually the enemy wants to possess the house, and he can do that through manipulating and controlling the house. He don't own the house, but he can manipulate the house. And so we want him out of the house. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about this house. We want God in place in our life. And so I'm addressing the first open door mankind opened to Satan. Now, Satan opened up to mankind the first door, amen, or opened up this idea of pride. But humanity opens this door to him in return. In 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world," please underline this in your mind. There's nothing else in the world that can really, the enemy can use, but this to lock you and I down. "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." When Paul talks about the fiery darts of the enemy, the wicked, he's talking about one of these three aspects. And so these are the doors that the enemy uses to sabotage our faith in God, to sabotage our commitment with him. Lust of the eyes is the first door that Adam opened to Satan. And everybody here today needs to consider that. If my granddad, your granddad Adam, opened this one up, it was the first door he used, and it caused him to fall, you really want to give attention to this message today. When we talk about the pride of life a few weeks ago, we found out that most Christians are proud that they don't have pride in their life. Nonetheless, on that day that we talked about it, 100% in this house here agreed that we all need to be delivered from pride. Amen? And it don't take a lot of time to really look into that message, and we find out that our relationships have static in it because of pride. Amen? The lack of our faith in God, pride. But the lust of the eyes manifests in the same way that pride does in our life. And so the first way that I want to talk, there's three things about the lust of the eyes that we want to address today. And the first one is greed. Now, for you that maybe have greed in your life, you see this balloon as being green. Amen? And that's real. When greed is in my heart, I see through green eyes, so to speak. And so Satan speaks to Adam before Adam speaks to God one day. I want y'all to hear this. Satan comes to Adam before Adam gets to God. And he does that to every one of us every day. He's screaming at us while the still small voice is trying to speak to us. And so just like Adam, the enemy comes to him first before Adam is able to speak to God. And his subject is about what God has been talking to Adam about. I want y'all to enjoy that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Anybody agree with that? That's a request that God has said. You better make that request daily. Amen. And so the enemy is going to come talk to you about what God's been talking to you about. His number one subject, whenever he talks to you and I, is the subject that God wants to talk about. And so in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, hath God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, God already didn't have that discussion. And that's what the enemy wants to talk about. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree or the fruit of that tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it. And she added a little bit to what God said there. Lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Why is Satan so interested in the no that God gives Adam? There's only one no in the garden. But that's the subject that the enemy wants to talk about, the thing that God says no about. What is no so important to us for? You see, no is the only thing that verifies and confirms his lordship in our life. If God can't say no, he's not Lord. The only way that he can bring us to make sure we stay in fellowship with him is that there's something he'll always reserve for himself that makes him number one in our life. Amen? And in the garden, it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so Satan's strategy is to present God's word to us in a way that facilitates doubt in the present. This is the day the Lord hath made. Now, I've got a decision to make. If I believe that, I'm going to walk in the Spirit and maintain my faith in God, and that's going to please God. And in the process of my fellowship with God, he's going to allow me to understand him better, right? But the woman saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, this wasn't the only tree that was pleasant to the eyes. Let's read here so everybody knows this. Sometimes we don't recognize that, well, the only tree that looked good was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They couldn't help it. Well, no. Genesis 2 and 9 says, out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the word pleasant is sometimes translated in Scripture as greed, desirable, lust. And so the woman thought that this fruit would make her more satisfied. She thought that this particular fruit would help her become more happy. And so the purest definition of, amen, pleasant in this passage is the word greed. Amen. Do you see this blue balloon is green today? You may have some greed in your life. Oh, Pastor, I know that balloon's red. Really? Let's keep talking about this, and let's find out the different colors that we consider truth to be and represent in our life. Eve, amen, wasn't Eve before the fall. She was Adam, and God called man and woman Adam before the fall. So Adam thought that God was holding out on her happiness. Amen. She thought, I have everything else. Why not this fruit? Anybody ever thought like that? The one thing that we don't have, the enemy wants us to lust after, the lust of the eyes. And so why should the tree of knowledge belong to God is a good question. Wouldn't everybody agree with that? Wouldn't that be a question we need to answer? Why would God want that to be the thing that belonged to him in the garden? You see, knowledge of good and evil equals judgment. The judge. Who's the judge? God reserved being the judge for him alone. He does not give anyone. Can I say this right now? Somebody said that. Well, that was in the Garden of Eden. That's not for us today. You ever heard those kind of sayings? Go check your scripture out, and if you find anywhere in the Bible where it even confirms for a moment it's okay for you to be the judge, let me know. So can we conclude today so that we understand the lust of the eyes and how it works? That if you judge your spouse, if you judge any relationship in your life, you're taking what belongs to God for yourself. That the person that bothers you the most, that God's still in love with them. Anybody ever talk about anybody? The only reason you'll say anything negative, amen, and in a derogatory way about anybody is because you're eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If a person is breathing, that's God's treasure. If they're not living for God, that's up for God to touch their life and say he might want to use you, because in your spirit should be faith, hope, and love producing. Is this okay? So the moment I judge anybody, I have taken and done what Adam did in the garden and eaten from what God says is reserved for him and him alone. If we close every door in our lives today and we refuse to allow God's liberty to say no in our life, we leave that door open. We leave that door open to demons that will steal from us until we have nothing left. Is this okay? I don't want any of the enemy's influence in my life. He don't deserve to have what belongs to God. I want to say that one more time. He doesn't deserve to have my heart. God deserves to have my heart. Is this okay? So the lust of the eye, all it does is give your heart away to the enemy. And so when Adam fell, the first open sin he took was that he took what belonged to God, and all God required was one tree out of all the trees that were in the garden. For Adam, there was a tree that was good for him, and there was a tree that was bad for him. Amen. The tree of life versus the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and all the other trees that go with the tree of life. And so after Adam falls, being first isn't good. Can everybody agree with that? Even after the fall of Adam, the idea that I should be first is not good for me. God says no. The first in everything about Scripture is reserved for God and God alone. Every time the word first is mentioned in Scripture, God always makes it clear, that's mine. By the way, so that you get a confirmation, amen, what did Jesus say? He said, the first shall be. And those that understand who's second shall be first. Wow. We got to shut a door, don't we? Amen. God speaking again in Genesis 4 and 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering to the of the fruit. Now, I want you to notice, it didn't say the first fruit here, does it? It says of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstborn of this flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? You reckon he has an open door there? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Cain, there's an open door, and the enemy has come and asking for permission to go in. And guess what? If you don't shut it, Cain, he's coming in. And its desire, I want you to notice this, its desire is translated greed. Greed to rule over is what that means. That desire is for you, and you should rule over it instead. Cain, if you'll do well, what was God talking about? No, Cain, don't bring me second, bring me your first. Bring me your first, because first is only good for me. It's not good for you. So Satan's first course of action is to get us to lust after what belongs to God. Have you ever wanted something like clothes or some hobby item or a car or house, and you put yourself first over God to get it? You ever done that? It's silent at New Life Fellowship because we're hearing this today. Remember, my goal today is not to get you to give anything today. My goal today is to encourage you to step into the blessings of the Lord today. My goal is to encourage you, amen, to embrace your fulfillment and enjoy God's presence. God speaks again in Exodus 13 and 1. Notice what he says. Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. Has anybody read that with me? I mean, this pattern follows all through Scripture. Exodus 23:19. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Amen. Why does God want us to handle the first this way? Why does he want to do that? Amen. You see, it's tempting, amen, to bring what belongs to God our way on our conditions. Leviticus 27:30 goes on and says, and all the tithe, the first tenth, that's what that means, tithe means first tenth of the land, of anything that you value, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's, right? It's the Lord's. It is holy. That word holy means set apart to the Lord. So what part of all do most, if not most, believers not understand in this passage? What part of all? You see, we're to bring the tithe to the local assembly of where we're joined, where we're in the mission of God, amen, and we're thrusting from there to be, amen, an expression of God, carrying the good news of the kingdom to our community. We bring it to that place so that together we can go out and be God's ministers. Everybody get this? We can only bring the tithe, the first tenth. Why? Because you can't give what you don't, or what doesn't belong to you. It's not possible. Imagine if Elder Tony Mills wanted to borrow my truck while I was gone on, you know, a trip, takes the time off, and he said, "Pastor, I need to borrow your truck." "Sure, here. Here's the keys, Tony." But when I got back, he comes to my house in my truck, and he comes up to me and he says, "Pastor, I've been praying, you know, and the Lord's talked to me and Betty and says we should give this truck to you as a gift." Now, Tony, that would be whacked out. You can't give what don't belong to you. You can only return it. Is anybody getting this? Because the first is not good for me. Amen? It's good for God. And how we handle what is first, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, I'm married to a beautiful lady, a great lady. And how I handle her first with God is more important than anything if my relationship with her is going to be set. God deserves the first fruit, amen, of my relationship with my wife. He deserves an investment, amen, that I see her from his lens. She deserves that. Amen. I can't bring her. I can return her to him. I don't own her. He owns her. Amen. She don't own me. He owns me. And how we serve one another is about how we put God first and how we put each other first in our life. I hope this is encouraging somebody today. Amen. We're to bring the tithe. Amen. So why does God ask us to do this? Amen. There's only two things you can do with what's first and what belongs to God. You can either bring it to his house or you can steal it. Amen. And the enemy knows that. Do y'all know the devil knows that about us? And he knows if he can get us to handle and mishandle what belongs to God, he's got us. And that was the first door that man opened in the beginning. So why does God do this? In Deuteronomy 8, and other scriptures, it declares it as well, that God does this to test us so that he can bless us. It's in our Bible. His blessings is contingent upon our faith to believe. So faith requires works to be alive in our life. Otherwise, faith is dead. Anybody need your faith to be alive? Amen. There's some things that he's expecting from Adam every day when he gets up to walk with the voice of God first. Amen. Know, amen, what God's speaking in your heart and yield to that reality and leave God's portion, amen, to God. Let me give you a challenge here. For those who are new Christians to the faith, amen, the tithe means tenth. Everybody got that? The first tenth. So the number 10 all through Scripture means a test. Let's take a test today. How many times did God test Pharaoh's heart? 10. Okay, it's a pretty easy test, by the way. How many commandments are there? How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? How many times did Jacob's wages change? How many days was Daniel's tested? Okay, how many virgins were tested in Matthew? 10. In Matthew 10, 10. Isn't that interesting? How many days of testing is mentioned in the book of Revelation? 10. How many disciples are there? Just a test. Every time anything of value comes to us, God looks for his worth in our life. Anything that you put value on in any way, God is watching to see if you're going to give him his worth. Amen. And the tenth is that test of his worth. The test. Do we as believers believe that 90% will go further than 100%? Whatever it is we put value on. For Adam, the tree determined God's worth. For Adam, the tree determined God's value to him. After Adam's fall, though, mishandling the first is always bad for us. Amen. And so shutting that door for my wife and I, this is how my wife and I made sure that door was shut years ago. And to this day, before we do anything that of value that comes to us that has any value to it, we have committed that the first thing we're going to do is thank the Lord for that which has come to us in value. And how do we thank Him? By going and doing with what we want to. No. We pause to give God His props, and we say, Lord, we know You're in this. And because we're not owners but stewards of what You've entrusted into our care, we're going to bring to You, amen, and return to You what belongs to You. And we're going to do it just the way You ask us to do it. First thing, before Uncle Sam gets anything, before the electric bill gets anything, before the house note, before whatever it is, before we go buy groceries, amen, and eat from the other trees in the garden, God's going to know that we believe He's God. And so greed is the first way that the lust of the eyes is manifested. So if you're here today and you see that balloon is green, you need to take care of that color that you are perceiving it to be. Now, the second way, amen, that the lust of the eyes can affect our life is unbelief. Many people that call themselves believers do not believe with God that His assessment with what is first actually belongs to Him. They go to church all the time. They're not bad people. They just don't believe. And they like being first from their perspective. Should we pick on them? Oh, no. We should pray for them. God bless them. They're missing out on blessings because they're trying to bless themselves. Has anybody ever done that before? You don't have to raise your hand. But people that are allowing the lust of the eye to bring unbelief into their life, they see this balloon as yellow. The principle of first is demonstrated through the Bible, and there is no evidence whatsoever in your Bible, if you can find it, bring it to me because I need to see it, where God ever changed His mind on the principle of first. He never did. But it's being taught all the time. Oh, that was for them way back then. Oh, that was under the law. Man, this stuff went beyond the law. It was going on before the law came into existence. God spoke to Adam, and God said that this is the way I'm expecting you to treat me, Adam, and this is what I'm not going to change. It's mine. So the principle of first is something we have to do in our life, or if it's not in our life established, Satan wants unbelief in our heart to be there. He wants us to doubt God. So let's consider God's first. Amen. This is what God had to say to Israel as they crossed Jordan. He took the Israel, went across Jordan. They take Jericho, and that's the first city of the promised land. What did God have to say about the first city in the promised land? God wanted the first so that He could do what? Bless the rest. And so this is what He had to say about the valuables of that city in Joshua 6:19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated, anything of value in that city, to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And this is what God had to say to Joshua and those who opened the door to the enemy over the first in Joshua 7:11. Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things. What was accursed? Anything valuable that belongs to God is accursed to us. It's not good for us. Ladies and gentlemen, please get, if you don't get anything else, you don't want to be first in this world. You want God to be first. Anything that's first is not good for you. It's accursed, but it's holy to the Lord. Amen. It's how we give Him His props. It's how we acknowledge God. We get up in the morning. What's the first thing we do? Thank You, Lord, for the breath of life. Thank You, Lord, that I'm alive. Thank You that I move and I have my being. Thank You, Lord, that I can speak right now. I have a mind to acknowledge You, to call on You. We do what first? We acknowledge Him. And when we give God the first part of the day with passion in our heart, what does He do for the rest of the day? He'll bless the day. Oh, yeah, there's trouble coming. Yeah, there's stuff going on. And there's things in this world that's not fair. But He'll see you through it because He's with you. You make him first, and you'll feel like last at some time or another during the day, but by when he gets through, he's going to put you right there where he is at first. Amen. Challenges come, amen, in our lives. But, amen, we are most like God when we give because God so loved the world that he gave. And I can't give you what you need, hear me, when I make myself first. God honored the first. How did he honor the first? He loved the world so much that he gave his first. He gave his firstborn. God took care of his tithe because he wanted to purchase something that was valuable to him. Now we become his tithe. Is anybody getting this? He gave everything so that he could have you, amen, to be the center of his universe. He chose you, and the enemy's trying to stop him from being Lord in our life because the enemy wants us to get up every day and pet this old boy right here, make this old boy feel good about the fact that he's got it together. Hey, God, I'll let you know if I need you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? This shows this is how the lust of the eye actually works. Amen. And notice, I didn't finish reading this. Therefore, the children of Israel, because they had transgressed against God, amen, and I'm coming from Joshua 7:11. Therefore, the children of Israel, in verse 12, could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore. This is God talking. Unless you destroy the accursed thing among you, unless you take what belongs to me, that's holy to me, and you bring it and take care of it the right way. God's just saying, I want to bless you, but you won't let me bless you. You keep trying to be a blessing to yourself. God cannot and will not bless a thief. Amen. When we steal, we open a door to Satan to plunder in our lives. When we give, we open a door to God to be a blesser, amen, and give in our lives. This is how the lust of the eye works. In Joshua 7:20, Achan answered Joshua and said, he's the one, he just one out of all the nation messed up and touched the accursed thing, and everybody else had to suffer because of it. I just want to digress so that you understand the principle here. When I don't put God first in my life, and I hang around you that day, I'm not going to be a blessing to you. Is anybody getting this? When I'm so arrogant, I received the baptism of God's Spirit in 1974 in camp meeting. But I ain't prayed since. I'm a believer, right? If I get up this morning and I put God first, you're going to be blessed. All of Israel is going to be blessed that I touch. But if I don't touch him first and acknowledge him first, I can act like a preacher, I can act like a believer, and I can quote scriptures, but I'm going to kill every one of you around me. And I didn't draw a real sword. I just took the sword of God's word instead of letting it be the sword of God's Spirit and brought death with it, because God has to be first to bless. God has to be first to bring spirit into our life. Amen. You should lay hands on the sick and they recover. Any demon that's around you should be running from you. Why? Because you know how to make God first. It took me to about 8 o'clock this morning to get a release in the spirit that God, I had it the way God wanted me to give it this morning. This is how it works. Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw, come on, the lust of the eyes, the first door that Adam opened. Achan is one of his sons now, years later, is admitting, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted. Got a hold of me. Greed got a hold of me. And I took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of the tent. The silver is under it. Here's God's personal thoughts on stealing from him. In Malachi 3:6, so that we're all clear on this, the Lord said this way, I am the Lord. And when it comes to first, I do not change. Let me encourage you. If anybody's ever told you the Lord changes, they're liars. Precious people. But the spirit that's speaking through me is the devil. Eve, did God say that? Really? And that's going on in the hearts of people that profess Christ because it's popular to be close to Jesus. But it's not popular to put him first. And the Lord said, I change not. Verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. You know what ordinances actually mean? God's ordinary principle of first. Is anybody getting this? You've gone away from my ordinances. Those ordinances define who I am. It describes my image. It tells you who I am. You're leaving my ordinary principle of first. Come on, it's in your book, Matthew 23 and 23. Jesus is the one saying, you know what? You ought to do this. Now, he's the one that died for me. He's the one saving me. And if he's suggesting I should be doing something, guess what? I'm going to put you first, Daddy. I'm going to follow your suggestion because that's good counsel. Return to me, and I will return to you. Return what to me? Return that which is first back where it belongs so that I can then in turn return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? In first. In that which is first. The tithe and offering. You are cursed with a curse. I want to bless you, but because you won't honor me as God and put me first, you have brought a curse on. I'm not cursing anybody, God. God don't curse anybody. Our choices bring curses into our lives. Our choices open doors that make avenues for the enemy to come in and plunder. New life. Amen. What we have here is we have spiritual food in this house because of faithful givers. I thank you for being faithful. And to the majority of you here, it's not even necessary that I even teach on this. You already believe it. But moving forward, we have to remind ourselves there's some things that bring honor to God. And in case there's an area in your life that he's not first, deal with it today and repent. When you change the way you think, you live differently. God's saying, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. We have spiritual food here today because there's faithfulness in the house. Try me, God says. Test me now, this says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up to you the windows of heaven and pour out to you such blessing that there will not be room to receive it. And I will rebuke what? Amen. The devourer for your sakes. That there will not, he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed. Why? Because I'm first in your life. God uses the word rob or robber or robbed, not the word theft. And there's a difference. Did you know that a thief comes to some from takes something from someone that's not in their house? The person has to be gone. But if you're in your bed and your garage is left open and you get something stole from you, you are now robbed. And you're judged accordingly. There's a sentence for you being a thief and there's a sentence for you being a robber. God says that anyone who refuses to return the tithe is classified as a robber. Why? Because he's in his house. I want to just encourage you here in a minute. When he purchased you 2,000 years ago, whether you believe him or not, he still bought you. He still owns you. Amen. And there's a lot of unbelievers out there right now. Amen. They don't have a clue about what we're talking about today, but God's in love with them. And they qualify as a thief because he's not in the house yet, but he still owns them. But for you and I that confess the Lord, and we've been filled with his spirit, and we won't make him first, we're robbers. He's not talking to all the heathens which he loves, he's talking to those that say, we're the children of God. He says, you call yourself my children, you're a robber. When we do this, God cannot protect us from the enemy. Now, I don't know about you, but I just tell you, when you start getting in the mode of making God first, things in your life will start shifting. Things that have been bothering you, frustrations and all the challenges you've been faced with will start changing in your life. The third way that the lust of the eyes manifests, and I'm closing with this, is fear. We found out last week that fear is a lying prophet. That's what fear is. That he wants to prophesy your future for you. And if he can get you to agree with him, amen, he can set your future up for you. People who are led by fear see this balloon right now as black. Luke 22:3. Then Satan entered Judas. Did y'all know Satan enters people? That's real. America needs to figure that out. Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. He went his way and conferred with the apostles, the chief priests rather, and captains, how he may betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. Now let's see how fear works, amen, and how the lust of the eye worked its way into Judas. John 12:1. Then 6 days prior to Passover, Jesus comes to Bethany. Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom had been raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. I'm just going to tell you something. When you put God first, this is a type of the presence of God. The fragrance filled the place. Just telling you, when you put God first, he will fill the house. This house. And when two houses get together that's making him first, one ox can pull 7,000, two ox can pull 28,000 pounds. Two's better than one. Anybody getting this? But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Man, he's confessing. He ain't got, Jesus ain't number one right now. This is said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Somebody said, well, he's a robber. Well, and hold it now. The Spirit hadn't yet been given. He's still on his way. He needs the baptism of God's Spirit to get him in the house first. Right? And he had the money bag or box. And he used to take what was in it out. Or take was out in it. Or used to take what was put in it. I'm sorry. Now, fear gripped the heart of Judas because things weren't working out the way Jesus had hoped that they would work out. Amen. And so because Jesus is not acting and saying things that Judas thinks he ought to be saying, he's getting frustrated and fear is coming upon him. And so he's got to figure out, amen, what he's got to do in order to make things happen the way he wants them to happen. And right now it's not looking good for him, so he needs to get, have you ever thought, I need to get out of this what I can get out of it before it crashes and burns? That's what Judas is thinking. Oh, my goodness. It's obvious now that they're going to take Jesus. And instead of us all losing in this thing, I need to get what I can get out of it before they take him. Many people that go to church and call themselves believers actually, amen, refuse to allow God to be first in their life for fear of the future. This is an open door. And so Judas asked the priest in Matthew 26:15, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out him 30 pieces of silver. In Matthew 27:3, Judas, the betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful after Jesus was taken. Man, that 30 pieces of silver, man, I hate I got it now. I regret I got it now. It didn't fit his DNA, did it? And he brought it back, the 30 pieces of silver, to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned, betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is it that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple. Now notice that. In the church where he took it. Ladies and gentlemen, we really need to consider this. You are the house of God. You are the house of God. He throws it down in the temple of the church where he took, and he departs, and he went out, and he hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful to put them in the treasury because they are the price of blood. Where did the priest get these 30 pieces of silver? From the treasury. The priest took the money that belonged to God to betray Jesus. Most people that go to church would say, I'd never do that. And this is the hard question. Would you betray Jesus for 10%? Those who do are opening a door for the enemy to come play. What's so significant about 30 pieces of silver, ladies and gentlemen? Exodus 21:32 says, if an ox gores a male or a female servant, he shall give to them or to their master 30 shekels of silver. And the ox shall be stoned. 30 pieces of silver is the price of a slave. Our subject the past 4 weeks has been believers in bondage. The priest betrayed Jesus with the tithe. 30 pieces of silver was the price of bondage, and it was a tithe. It was a tenth. It was the first. And so when we refuse to honor God with what he's declared as being his, we become slaves. We go into bondage. And this is so important for us to understand today. I know people that don't go to church today, and they haven't been filled with the Spirit. But you know what? As unbelievers living in this world, they found out about the principle of first. And there's people that won't attend church, but they're going to return the tithe to God. You know why? Because something comes with it, and they have figured it out. Did you know the world understands the principle of giving? The church don't even get it. Whole in our world. And those that have the most in our world today, they understand if you're not one that invests in giving, amen. And those that don't know God, that understand God, in returning, it comes back pressed down, shaken together, running over. And that's not talking about, and that passage is talking more about mercy and grace and forgiveness. But let me tell you something. What you sow, you're going to reap back. And I encourage you today, make him first, so that you can begin to tend to his business and tend to his garden, tend to his kingdom as his stewards, his children. Amen. And you can give mercy. You can give forgiveness. You can give the love of God. You can give out the good news.